Meet the Kennedys at Lasseter's, hole at the waterhole. A cup of tea at Harold Sonia's nursery for a stroll. It's time to neighbors. CJ, Kate, and Vaya. Let's get the neighbors.
Hello, it's Neighbours. We are the Neighbours Recap Podcast. We overanalyze episodes of the Aussie soap Neighbours. It's our form of self-care. I'm Vaya. Kate's here.
Hi, everybody.
We are jumping back on in a week where we've already released a bonus episode. We've fired up PirateNet Studios again because we still have three episodes in the week to recap after the big episode 9000 that dropped on Monday. And we have some analysis to do of the episodes from Tuesday the 6th of March.
So episodes 9001 to 9003.
Yeah. Still packed a lot in.
Yeah.
And I guess we would could probably agree that some of the more climactic moments that we expected from 9000 came up later in the week.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly on Thursday.
Especially with the big set piece of the tip, the junkyard. Oh, that was a stunning location. Loved that. We'll get to it. CJ is not here. We've had to record in the middle of the work day because of logistics. You've got school children playing in the background, trains going past. It's life. We might hear from her sometime when we least expect it.
There, could I just say happy International Women's Day?
Oh, back at ya. Are you going to a corporate brunch?
No, I'm not. No. I'm just here.
Put on by men.
I'm here in my Women Created podcast.
Yes. Right here. Yes. And we only have allies on this podcast as guests. So every now and then.
Oh, yeah. I'll plus Brett Bowman.
Yeah. A man closes out this episode every day now, every week now. I love it. It was such an organic addition. And now I can't imagine the pod without it. Again, reminder, listen to all the way to the end of the episode for Brett's bits. And I will put some extra Brett's bits up on Patreon at the Moneybags level. And while we're at it, I'll thank a couple of new patrons to patreon.com/neighbourspod. Hope you're enjoying the new micropod, Pod Squad group chat. Jillian has joined. Keziah has bumped up to Moneybags level. Love ya. Tracy and Craig as well. Craig, who I believe is the instigator of the Neighbours
bracket.
The Neighbours bracket.
Incredible work.
And Katie as well.
Now, I have brought in today a gift I received from Matthew, who is a colleague of my husband, who listens to the pod. And look at it, Vaya.
Oh, look at this talisman. It is a fan card.
Or a little, it's like a Scanlan's footy card for Neighbours, which I've seen a few online, but I've never actually seen one in the flesh.
So we talk about the details here. It's 1987, date stamped. Card 4 of 66. On the back it says Charlene and Scott, the wedding of 87, and then a classic couple shot on the front of Scott and Charlene in their glad rags and Jason Donovan's spiky hair and mullet.
And Charlene with a baby's breath in her hair.
They look resplendent.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you so much, Matthew. That's really sweet.
I'm going to have to jump onto eBay to collect more of those because
yeah, I've seen people like getting rid of like near complete sets.
What do you do with them? I wonder. Let us know if you collect merchandise and fan cards and things. What do you do with them?
So in the 80s, Scanlan's used to make footy cards as well.
So kids would swap them with each other.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm pretty sure they came in a packet with like some chewing gum as well.
I would be all about it if some company jumped on and released the whole back catalogue of main characters.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I'll swap you a gaz can for a Carl Kennedy, you know, like if
you'd want to have a few Carl Kennedys to make that swap, I reckon.
That's really delightful. I'm going to go down to a deep dive.
It's so cute.
So Tuesday's episode is actually delightful. I really loved it. I really loved it because once again, the Share House of Dreams had a quote unquote party.
Yeah.
They love a party, even if it's four people, five people.
Yeah. Ho Ho came along and brought the goods straight out of the Lasseter's alcohol salesman's bin.
She got her flirt on with the supplier and he gave her two bottles of spirits, it looked like.
Yeah, yeah, it looked like some sort of fruity vodka.
And she was going to just chug it from the bottle, which, you know, I admire your stamina. But she also said later that she'd had dinner with Melanie. So I don't know if she had dinner with Melanie because she was tired from it, which I can imagine why. It'd be a lot of emotional absorption going on there in that dinner. She's like, I got tired from dinner with Melanie, but she still had, she'd done a shift, she had dinner with Melanie, and then she brought the alcohol over.
Maybe she really felt like a drink after the downloading. Chat with Melanie.
After Melanie uploaded. So it's just a spontaneous weeknight party with the crew. You got Haz, you got Mac. Haz is well and truly ensconced in the stamp collecting community now, which I glossed over from the week before. Because they found a leaflet for a convention, stamp convention, and Mac took him to get him out of Sadie's way and then Haz fell in love with stamps.
This is all the hallmarks of a classic special interest blossoming, isn't it?
A ceramic pig hobby, if you will. And look, I've got a colleague who's a stamp guy and it's bloody tedious.
I'm sorry, the local primary school is playing didgeridoos over their PA system.
Yeah, look, what's happened is they used to pump out the classic 80s hits. They used to pump out, this is the musical bell that the school plays. So I come from a land down under, you know, I would jam out to it every couple of days. Now it's much more cultural music. There's a diverse array of cultural music plays. Nice. Yeah. And my partner goes, I think there's been a change in deputy principal.
I was like, I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm at the day spa now. I just need a bit more pan pipe in there.
Yeah, once whatever her name was, Tracy from the day spa got the arse.
Yes.
The new manager came in. Yeah, I know it's very obvious to say stamp collecting is a boring hobby. Mm-hmm. And look, I think every like 9-year-old went through a stamp collecting phase.
He'll be onto the train spotting next.
Yeah, it is not far removed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to get hard. Australia Post is about to put its stamp prices up, so it's going to get tough for Haz.
Yeah, good
out
luck,
there.
Mate.
Anyway, they've brought the party vibe. But now, who are the stars of this party, Kate?
Ah, Sades and Byron.
Got very touchy-feely and flirtatious. And at one point, Sadie does the slut drop, quote-unquote, dance move. And that's enough to turn him on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Mac pikes early, as does Haz. And then Ho-Ho's like, oh, my God, it's just hitting me now. I better head off.
At one point, they were doing like a truth or dare and they dared Holly to show them her search history. And she's like, oh, yeah. And then stops, doubles back and goes, actually, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
What has Ho-Ho been searching?
Can you I didn't realize on your phone, can you actually show what your search history is? I thought it was just like your general history.
Well, I think they said, show us the last three things you looked up. And to me, what I would do is open up my tabs, my Safari tabs, and show the last three things. Maybe that's what they meant. If you went through my 80 tabs that are open.
Oh, geez. Oh, 80. I mean, that sounds like it's a very – that's not me
that's
at all.
That's tidy.
It's tidy. Yeah, mine's like up in the 300s. I like to get it down below the 200s, but, you know, I'm being realistic here.
Half of them are Wordle because, you know, it opens a new tab. Got to go through and delete
them.
Oh,
no. I've got my puzzles tab and then I have Wordle as the first square in my puzzles tab.
Amazing. We're getting into Haz territory, but – she didn't want to show her what she'd been looking up, so she bailed. And then Byron and Sadie are there in the moonlight, few drinks in, and he wanted to look at her dance moves again. So he's clearly into her.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's feeling very consensual.
Yeah, great. We love that. Mm. We stan. And in the middle of all of this, they start dancing and cuddling up to each other, and then they get it on and they take this to the next room, which is that lovely sunroom.
Yeah, on the two-seater couch.
The love seat. And Sadie is intimate for the first time, and it's with Byron.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is what she had planned to do. She had hoped, Holly had put this idea in her head, like, hey, you should approach him. He'd treat you well.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, we were endorsing this all last week, weren't we?
Everyone.
We're like, yeah, yeah, come on, mate. He play you like a cello.
Mm-hmm. And Sadie backed out of that plan and now organically the plan has put itself into place. So it was safe sex because there was a condom wrapper visible in not one but two shots.
So that to me says that Byron went into his own bedroom, grabbed the condom, came out again and proceeded to have sex with her on the two-person couch.
Why didn't you go to your room, Byron? I know we didn't have a set for it. And I loved the morning after shot of Sadie waking up in his arms.
On the two-person couch.
Yeah, realising she had to get home.
I love that she was clearly sober enough to remember to put her giant underpants back on as
I loved her giant underpants. They were very like fitted and they looked new, you know.
They look like period undies, to be honest. like those special ones.
Absorbent.
Yes.
Highly absorbent.
But I was like, okay, all right. Like, okay, so you're drunk enough to have sex on a share house couch.
Mm-hmm.
But you were sober enough to put your underpants on back afterwards.
It actually looked a bit like a bodysuit. I'm sorry, I'm wondering. But
Would she like, okay, do up the snaps again?
I thought it was very elegantly executed. She woke up, she had the undies on, she put her pants on. And
then she went and sat on the gutter outside to put her shoes on. Which, yeah, mate, you live two houses away, just walking your bare feet on the footpath.
True, true. But then it was a nice shot. And I liked her ducking and weaving to avoid being noticed by Haz, who was up and about.
Oh, my God. Would you? That would be a nightmare.
Well, I would not want that awkward conversation. And so then Byron wakes up and she's not there. And she has this lovely smile to herself in the gutter going, oh, good on me.
Yeah, pat on the back. Yeah. Go Sage.
Job done.
Yeah.
Happy lady. And it was really nice. And then Byron wakes up and tells Haz that Sadie had stayed over and that he's like, he's on board. He's into it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm in, mate. I'm in like Flynn. He and Haz have a nice friendship. I think Haz is at his best when he's a mate to Byron. I like it. And then Byron, stand-up guy, goes over to Sadie's house because she's not there when he wakes up. He wanted to make sure she was okay. And he wanted to see if she wanted to go out for breakfast. Class act. And she is in kind of defensive mode. Like, oh, no, you don't have to.
I'm cool. It's all right. Yeah, I'm not clingy. Mm. Nah, you do you.
You don't need to take me out for breakfast. And he's like, no, I thought we should talk. We don't need to talk. It's all good.
Also, she probably wants to go and have a vomit.
And a shower. Nice long shower. And up and go. I don't know. Something light. But him saying, I want to talk, she thinks, oh, he wants to let me down and say, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So they both have crossed wires and that doesn't happen. But she goes over for a spa with Mackenzie. Actually, or does Mackenzie come over because the Rodwells have the spa?
Yeah, they're in the murder tub. Yeah.
So in the murder tub, she's having a spa and Krista's there for whatever reason. Oh,
what the fuck is Krista? Krista's come over with Mac. Krista's probably not meant to have get in the hot tub.
I was about
to
say, no. Well, she was perched. I'm going to come over and perch on your hot tub. Lean against it.
How old is Krista again?
I have questions about various people's ages on this show.
The old multi-generational friendship groups again.
I know you have to keep it nebulous so we can appeal to multiple demographics. But is Sadie 19? Is Byron 29?
I reckon that's quite plausible. He's old.
Well, he's not a uni student.
He's a uni graduate.
Yes, he's a mature age student.
He's worked after uni as well.
He's had two careers and now he's on his starter career at Lassiter's as a bellhop. So Krista's there and Sadie says, okay, I just got to tell you guys I had sex with Byron. And
I don't know. I mean, bless Mackenzie for not just kind of immediately just jumping out of the spa at that stage.
I was about to say, we are sharing fluids right now, lady. Yeah. I found that questionable.
Did you shower before you got in the tub, mate?
I would have even liked if Sadie had put that forward, just going, don't worry, I showered first.
That is probably a bit graphic. Oh, my God, I saw someone complaining online about this whole storyline, that it was just too much for her two small children.
Oh, how were they conceived, lady?
No, but they were watching it.
Well, tell them. That's how you were conceived, all right? Or without the condom wrapper.
I look.
Whatever.
Because I was like, you know what? You could just tell your kids if they're that young. You could just say, oh, they kissed.
They kind of.
Feasibly, that whole storyline could be about them kissing.
Or just, yeah, how young are they? They wouldn't. It would go over their heads.
It would go over their head.
And if they're older. If they're old enough to understand, then they should be talking about it. You should be talking about sex.
Yeah, I mean, but the middle ground between that is you can just say they've kissed.
Their boyfriend and girlfriend, or whatever, or lack thereof. So Mackenzie's like, well, we've got to tell Holly. Can I text her? She'll be so excited. Sure, go ahead. Authorizes the text that we see. And I wanted to know why we had to see that text. And then I realized it's so that later when Holly does a Holly, we know what information she's been given.
Yes.
But I screenshotted the conversation because I found it quite darling. And I love all these little extra details. that go into fleshing out the world. And so we got, look, it's just all Simpsons memes and Sam Kerr, really, at the moment in my phone. good on you, Sam Kerr. So Mackenzie's asked, we still lunching? Holly goes, break's been pushed back. 20, got to help with group check-in. All good, I can order for you. TYSM, thank you so much. Chippies, please. Anything else? It just felt very real. It felt very real, and I pictured Holly ordering chippies. And then the text is, Sadie and Byron, it happened. So this is all Holly's been told. And Krista there is excited for Sadie. I'm going,
this is weird.
Why are you being so immediately excited?
You barely know either of them, and you're a bit creepy at this point.
But also, that's your sister's ex.
Yes.
Wouldn't you just take a minute to go, oh, wow.
Well, that's how things are done around here, mate.
And they're encouraging her to go for it. And Sadie's like, no, I saw how obsessed he was with your sister. I'm not in that league.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what Sadie would have to do to get to Reese's level, but probably less. She'd have to do a bit less. Word's gotten around all the friends. Byron is now a little bit disappointed because he had wanted to kind of romance Sadie a bit more at this point and she'd shut him down. So he's gone for a little jog, little emotional me-time jog. They're checking in with their feelings in the street, Byron and Haz, and then Holly comes barreling out of the Kennedy house. She's just got the text and squeals at Byron. Oh, my God, I'm so excited for you. I'm so glad this happened. And, you know, I know she was not going to do the plan and then she was going to do the plan. And I think, you know, it was her first time. It was a big deal and just gives the whole backstory.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. More neighbours radical honesty.
So radical. Look, it was poor form because the message that you were given did not contain enough details to warrant you spilling your guts.
Yeah, because she could have gotten over there and Sadie been like, I don't actually remember what happened. I was really drunk.
Yeah. Or we just kissed. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it was very presumptuous of Holly. But, that's on brand for her.
Yes,
so
it
worked.
Yep.
Byron sort of becomes ashen and is like, oh, no. She's used me. Used my body. Used my conductor abilities.
Yeah. The maestro.
She used the maestro. To get played. He heads over to Sadie's and what does he catch her browsing?
Oh, she's just casually looking at his live webpage for Harvey J.
His escort services webpage, which I think it seems he's with an agency. Good on him.
Yeah.
It's all above board. Still displayed online.
Yeah, and he's all like, hey, I see what you're doing and I'm not an escort anymore. You know I'm not doing that anymore. Mate, your website is still live. Buddy, if you didn't have a toe in the water, why is it still out there?
Yeah, this raised 7 questions. The first one, why is the webpage live? Have you called the agency, told them to take it down? If it is live, why haven't you had any bites? What's their SEO doing?
I think we know why he hasn't any bites. I don't think he's getting any repeat customers. If this is his reaction after every time he has sex with a woman, you'd be like, I paid you for your services. Yes, you are a piece of meat. Please go away. That's why I paid you to go away.
Your feelings are valid, but you can't talk about them with me. You need to find someone else for this.
Yeah.
And further questions, even if you were still doing it, it's nothing to be ashamed of, Byron. So stop acting so defensive.
100%.
So
you've obviously got a talent and a passion for this business.
Yeah. And it'll pay your rent faster than Lassiter's will. And you won't have to book reservations for bloody Chelsea. She's looking up dinner spots. So she goes, I'll get Byron to book it. Get the concierge to make your social arrangements.
Yeah.
Get out of there, Byron.
She's loving the sweet life.
Get out of there. And he's looked pained. Sadie immediately is upset and he blasts out of there and doesn't let her get a word in. And to Haz's credit, he says, did you let her explain herself?
Yeah, but also he's very enabling Haz as well. Like he's very much, oh man, she's, can't believe she'd use you like that or whatever.
Yeah, in the previous scene.
Yeah, oh, can't stand him.
Like, you used Billy, that lovely lady that you had your way with and just kept her hanging around even though you weren't interested.
Remember when Haz was interesting, that for a brief moment back then in the Billy times? Yes. Yeah.
And he said to his credit, he did say to Byron, don't do to her what I did to Holly. Like, don't just have her hang around if you're not interested. So he goes, like, all right, I should have let her speak. And he goes to meet with Sadie. And she says, look, yes, there was a plan to hire the maestro for his services.
Mm.
But then...
But it turns out he gives it out for free.
Why wouldn't you?
Then he's all like, oh, I would have made it better experience.
He's like, I saw how Jack and Nina had their first time on Neighbours. I would have put rose petals on the Lassiter's bed for you. I would have made it special. And what I loved is Sadie just went, no, it was good. Like everything played out in a good way.
On the two-seater couch, yeah, with the drunk man.
It seemed fun. It seemed we're having a fun time. We're doing our dance moves for two. We're in the love seat. Spontaneous. Don't overthink it. She was happy.
I don't know. I feel she could have got a better deal out of it all.
She could have got a bed. At least it wasn't at her house with her parents nearby.
They've got a bigger couch though.
She has said, okay, it's all good. He said, like, it's all good. I was hasty in my judgment of you. But he looks at her longingly and he's like, oh, so, you know, what now? She's like, we go back to being friends. That's it. Just friends.
Friend zoned.
Which makes me wonder, how good was the maestro?
Look, as I said, he was a drunk man on a two-person couch. I don't think it was that great for her, to be honest.
No. I think...
And for him to say, I would have made it better, makes me sound like it wasn't great.
Oh, I would have made it better.
Play her like a flute, mate.
At least a piccolo. Yeah, interesting. It's raised a lot of questions and I'm happy to have them be answered down the line.
Yeah. So aside from him being so weirdly emotionally needy afterwards, maybe he is just a dud root. And that woman's standards, the maestro woman's standards, were actually just like rock bottom.
Yeah, maybe. We don't know what her partner was like.
Yeah, like maybe he was... Maybe what you're looking for is less of a maestro on separate instruments. Maybe you're looking for a one-man band.
Yeah.
Maybe
like Dick Van Dyke.
With the cymbals between the kneecaps.
Oh, my God. I'm not begrudging Byron's neediness. We all have needs. We all have emotional needs.
He's an adult. His brain has finished developing, Vaya. Her brain has not finished developing yet. He needs to be more of the adult in this situation. Yeah. And that's why he's a bellhop when he's a qualified lawyer living in a share house, moping around some American heiress.
Well, they've put a pin in that relationship and I am excited to see it unfold and develop. And maybe, look, maybe the ace possibility for Sadie is still on the table. Maybe she just didn't. She was happy to have that done, but
Byron,
she just
that's
didn't.
How great an escort you are.
But you...
She doesn't want to have sex again.
Ever. We'll leave them, but that all delighted me. And Holly got them apology muffins for opening a big trap. And that was nice. Oh, but we've got a new addition to the street, Kate.
Uncle Felix. And I have to say, this is the first character in a long time that I've liked from the get-go.
The Red Power Ranger, as we've been told, is his past. Is a welcome addition.
Yes. Yeah. He's fun and charismatic.
He's the friendliest, cleanest prison man I've ever seen.
Also one of the weediest for someone who spent a few years in the clink. You'd think he'd spend a lot of time in the gym to make himself at least a little bit more physically intimidating.
You'd have Aaron-style guns.
Yeah.
If that's what all you had to do.
And we know this because...
Of our prison husbands. What?
Yeah. No, no. I was going to say, we know he's weedy. Because we've seen him without his shirt off already.
The shirtless
reveal. Oh, and sorry, he's not that weedy. Apologies to Uncle Felix. But still, like, for someone who's been in prison for
years.
Yeah,
it's a comparative. Yeah, he flexed his guns at one point. He's clearly worked on them. He's worked on them. Wendy is thrilled. It's like they've got, it's like an adoption agency's called them. Like, oh, there's someone available for you today. And Wendy's like, oh, I'm going to go change the sheets. They're really excited.
And she's catering to his personal food preferences.
Caramel slice.
Yes, she made. And what did he say to her then?
Oh, thanks for this, Wendos.
Wendos, I love it. Just like the snackos.
Wendos was perfectly mid-aughts. It's perfect for someone who was frozen in time a few years ago.
Yeah, from when he went to the big house.
I was, when I worked at the radio station, the entire engineering department was something os. It's Christos. You know, someone was Christos and Danos.
And Pashos.
And there was, the head of them all was Lyle, and they were calling him Lylos.
That's a stretch, that one.
Did not work. So when he goes, Wendos, I'm like, oh, mwah, 2007. How are you going? And he and Wendy, apparently when he was a kid, she used to make caramel slice for them all and he liked it. So when he was like 15 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, I've known my brother-in-law since I was 11 or so.
Oh, cute.
So it's believable to me that there would be, he'd have a sister-in-law who knew him when he was a kid.
Yeah, that's nice. And Topher, friend of the pod from America, hadn't heard of a caramel slice. He had to look it up.
Oh.
And he likened it to like some kind of brownie or
Yeah. What do Americans call slices? Bars?
Yeah, bars. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the English have a different name for it as well. But, you know, look, it's basically a tray bake or something
like
that.
It's a biscuit base. It's your caramel fudge in the middle and your chocolate layer on
chocolate
top.
Yeah. Divine. And it's hardened, and then you just cut it up into squares, and then you can buy them like that, or your mum can make them for you.
Divine. As a celiac, I actually am spoilt for choice because whenever you want the GF option in a cafe, they have a lot of brownies and slices. So I'm sorted, don't you worry. She made the caramel slice, which, by the way, she had to do quickly that morning because he was coming that day.
I wish, one, that I was that kind of mum or that I had that kind of mum because a friend of mine has the baking kind of mum who will just, she'll open her fridge, she'll have three different types of slices in Tupperware in her fridge.
That's incredible.
And just go, oh, she'll get a plate out. She'll like, it doesn't matter if you drop in or anything.
I'm in awe. It's there. I'm in awe of bakers because to
her
me.
Her daughter takes that for granted. And I'm just like, this is incredible. And I'm always just like, bam, 10 out of 10.
A surprise to no one. I'm a very stressed baker. Like I get stressed if I don't. It turns out differently every time. Like, why did this cake rise and this cake didn't rise? I just can't replicate it twice, so I get very stressed out. So I'm like a one-off. Oh, good. We nailed that. We'll never make it again.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Wendy, and she does sweet and savory. Chicken curry, caramel slice.
Oh, incredible. Please, Wendy, come be my mum too.
He doesn't seem like he's just straight out of prison. But the next day when he goes, oh, it was good to go for a run and not have to just do the length of the yard. When he's immediately out, he just seemed like he'd come around for a cuppa like anyone's uncle would come
past. Yeah, yeah. When he gets to the street, who's the first person he gets to meet?
JJ. We still don't know what those J's stand for. They are Jailbird Jr.
Jailbird Jr. Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Because we know that he was friends with the famed Philippa.
Yes. Philippa of the Jizz fame.
Yeah, Jizz fame. Jizz fame Philippa. Just collects it, passes it around.
Philippa of Jizz fame.
Yeah, which is exactly the sentence you want to say when your neighbour comes out to collect their washing while you're podcasting. Yeah. It doesn't sound weird at all.
At least I was facing this direction. So my voice is projecting to the other house.
So he's on high alert to see this JJ kid and he sees him straight away playing basketball. How often do you reckon they drag that backboard down into the cul-de-sac?
You know, I looked at that and I thought, I don't think JJ could drag that by himself.
No, it's huge.
It looks heavy.
I mean, Kara would do it with her eyes closed.
Kara and Remy, they both can do mums. They'd be like, yeah, come on, I'm supporting my son. Come on, you want to do it? Yeah. Also, doing that in a court would be very freaking irritating.
I was about to say.
And I reckon that would only come out when coups are away.
Because see, my son's got a basketball over there. And when we bang it out here on the deck,
It's about 2 minutes of bouncing and you go, wow.
And I'm just internally apologising to the neighbours for being annoying. So he sees JJ and he doesn't immediately go, wow, that kid's a dead ringer for me.
He did give him some longing glances though, didn't he?
Yeah, not at all weird for the ex-crim. It's just turned up. And the end of that episode, so JJ wants to gear up to take boxing lessons.
Yeah, love this for him.
From Sarge.
Great idea. You know, again, that's actually the can-do mums instilling the can-do attitude in him, where he's like, okay, how am I going to solve my own problems?
Yeah, they were a bit worried at first, but then Kara talked Remy into it.
Yeah.
But Sarge is going to give him some lessons.
And also, did your ovaries melt when Felix said, okay, give me the name. Yeah, where's this shitbag, Slade?
Yeah, I'll go sort him out.
Yeah. Bloody love this situation.
Get your ex-con dad.
Uncle Felix, 10 out of 10.
I'd love to see Felix v. Slade.
Punch him in the kidney, mate.
Love it. Hope it's his evil one. And so Felix is like pumping himself up, pretending to do, trying to do boxing moves in the lounge room. And then he gets really hot and he takes off his jumper and we see both him and Felix in different shots, shirtless.
Vaya, I've just taken off my sunglasses to, like, slap my face because have a look at this here. Both of them have black rectangles on their lower right back.
In the tramp stamp region.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
What is that?
What is the go?
That is unlike any birthmark I've ever seen in my life.
No, it's a little smudged too.
It looks like a smudged barcode.
It looks like they sat on Sadie's makeup kit.
Yeah.
A barcode. Scan them through.
Why not make it brown?
Yeah, my son has a cafe au lait.
I have one here. You've never noticed. I've got one. It's very faint, but it's just here on my forearm.
Is that a cafe au lait, Mark, or just a standard?
It's cafe.
Colour of a cafe latte.
Mm. Now, Asian and African people quite often have a birthmark, which is right kind of the top of their bum crack. But that happens in babies, and it looks like a big bruise.
Oh.
And that is quite often pointed out by maternal child health nurses because it can look like your little baby's got a massive bruise.
But we are not in that realm here.
No. And actually, I have to say that my mum and my brother both have a birthmark on their thigh, but it's like a normal coloured birthmark.
You can get fun coloured ones. My brother had a strawberry mark on his head.
Yeah, there's a different type of birthmark.
Yeah, fun. You get some really fun ones.
That's a vascular malformation. And, you know, the thing is, Vaya, yes, certain families seem to be kind of more prone to having birthmarks, but they're random. They're not like it's not like having the same nose as your dad or something.
Like you're not going to get a mole in the exact same spot.
No.
Like it's very strange.
This is baffling.
Do you know what this actually did remind me of as well? Cutie marks. If anyone's familiar with the My Little Pony fandom, the cutie mark is the spot that the pony has on its hindquarters.
Oh, so this is their cutie mark.
Their cutie mark. You can get a cluster of blossoms or some apples. Yeah. Or
I mean, they're both cute.
Yeah.
So this is it. So this is like the smudged barcode is their cutie mark.
Yep.
Honestly, that colour being black.
It was really alarming.
Like, get down to the bloody mole check.
Yeah, that
for
does
that
not
one.
Look good.
It looks cancerous.
Skin cancer. Cancer Council of Victoria would have something to say about that.
Like every time you go to the GP, there's a little poster on the wall that shows what healthy moles and dodgy moles can look like.
Black.
Like we're very conscious of what bad moles look like.
It's very sinister.
And I'd be like, why is it rectangular? Mm. Like, anyway, too many questions.
And look, jumping ahead to the next day, JJ comes around for the lessons and Felix is being a nice guy helping him out. He's been holding up the pads for the boxing.
Yep.
And then JJ takes off his shirt again. Felix clocks the matching cutie mark and needs a minute. He needs to go around to the wall on the other side of the house and just take some deep breaths because he's like, oh, my God, that kid that looks like me.
He's got the barcode too. Was he abducted by aliens as well?
Actually, it's less barcode, more QR code.
How did that kid join the Aryan Brotherhood?
I mean, he looks like a top candidate. Actually, Kate, you pointed out something during the week to me about the genetics and the implausibility.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. So I was looking at Uncle Felix and I was like, oh, he's got some rather lovely blue eyes. And I double checked this with his headshots. Mm. And then I looked up Cara's headshots as well. Very, very clear blue eyes. Like both of them, unambiguously blue eyes. JJ, brown eyes.
Well, I would say they're more green, greenish brown. But still.
Still. I looked up the odds on that and it's pretty much impossible for two blue-eyed people to have a brown-eyed child.
Or even a green-eyed child.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're just going to have to let that one slide. Also, like we're letting slide the fact that no one picked up that this potential father, potential son of Sarge, looked quite a lot like his non-biological brother.
Now, I've also seen a bit of speculation online this week, and I cannot remember who was saying it, so apologies, I'm stealing your idea, that Uncle Felix could be Paul's son.
What? No.
But I love this because JJ, I've said from the start, he looks a bit like Jimmy.
And actually, Red Power Ranger does have a bit of Paul in him.
Yes.
To who, though? God. Well, a lost quadruplet?
Maybe his mum. Maybe it was just Paul had a one-night stand with the Sarge's mum.
Wow. Okay, I've got questions.
He'd have to redo that will.
There's got a lot of wills need to be redone around that joint. Then, of course, we have the meeting of the Varga Murphys and Red Power Ranger in the pub. And Sarge goes, oh, this is my brother. He was friends with Philippa. And Kara's like, oh.
Orcs.
We never crossed paths. And they shook hands. And
also, because he would have been in, like, your age.
Yeah. And Kara, Dr. Mum and Handy Ma don't at any point go, holy crap, that looks like our son.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the mysterious jizz that we were given by Philippa. Yeah. Yeah.
Suddenly not so mysterious.
Oh, he's another man that Philippa knew.
What's Philippa's game? Can we get flashback week but just have it in 2007 with Philippa, please?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of flashback week, we have to get back over to Toad Rage any minute now. Okay, well, we've closed them off.
Oh, yeah, my favorite part was Wendy spilling the beans. Oh, yeah, look, we've got to tell them. They'll find out anyway. I love this more radical neighbor's honesty.
Yeah, that was a little out of line, Wendy.
Oh, well, look, to be honest, they would find out. But everybody's gone full truth.
Yeah.
From the get-go.
Because they go, oh, is
he's on parole.
Is he? Yeah, straight away he's on parole. Wow. And
he's hanging out with our sons.
But also let Felix tell his story.
No.
Or.
No. Would you want to wait until the criminal told you
that
he was hanging out with your son?
Well, what I would want is for the Rodwells to have sent out a little WhatsApp group text in the lead up to Felix landing. Going, heads up, my brother's out on parole. He's going to be staying with us for a little while.
I mean, that's a bit awkward.
Yeah, but it's more awkward to
I don't think it's more awkward. I think it's responsible, particularly seeing there's been bad blood, to be like, okay, we've just got to tell you that, yes, your sons are hanging around with a crim, but, you know, it was just robbery. It wasn't a violent crime.
And Kara does take the high road and say, okay, everyone deserves a second chance.
They said robbery, didn't they?
Yeah, gentle robberies. Wendy says, look, guys, it's not a big deal. They were non-violent burglaries.
Oh, did they say burglaries?
They did.
Okay, burglaries. Okay, all right. That makes a difference because burglaries are when that's something that happens when no one's home. It's robbery.
You hold someone up.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, and I'm like, oh, okay, ask the victim as whether they were traumatised or not.
Just a bit of gentle cat burgling. Never hurt anyone.
What did I say from the start? He was out poaching rare birds from the Werribee Poo Farm.
I just love how quickly Wendy went, no, nothing sus. Nothing sus. It's fine. We'll be the judge of that. Okay.
Yeah, but look, I would also be going, I reckon the guy from prison could teach my son a few moves on how to, like, beat someone up in a shady way.
Yeah, it'd be a nice trajectory for them. So we will pick them up and now we go over to the big, big moment on Friday where everything converges.
I texted you just before saying, what a thrilling end to the week.
And I wrote back, Toadie's a fucking idiot.
No. I'd just like to point out that you wrote fucking as well.
Yeah. I did not round that word off.
Yeah. Toadie's gone over to Coos's backyard, tells Melanie, hey, Melanie, I just wanted to let you know that I love my wife and I'm not going to, you know, this thing, whatever you think this thing is between us, yeah, it's not a thing, okay?
Well, she's like, can you stop boring me then with this? Get out of my face.
Or can I be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Could have been a text, Toad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe I can't be bothered lately typing out texts. They're really laborious. Take a leaf out of Brett Bowman's book. Drop a little voice memo, Toad.
This is like the classic, could have been an email, yeah, not a meeting.
Exactly. Stop coming here. I'm trying to prune the hedges. Leave me be. And she calls it, they run into each other about 3 or 4 times that hour because then he knocks into her at the complex. Then he's deciding to set up this date night, which I hate the term date night with the power of 1,000 suns.
Yeah.
Just call it a date. Or just call it, I'm hanging out with my wife.
Yeah. Going out for dinner.
Yeah. I'm setting up a date night for Therese.
It feels like date night's going to involve board games, and I don't like board games.
It sounds like at least one party doesn't want to be on it.
Yes.
And he says to Therese that the children are both at sleepovers with school friends, with some school friends. It's like,
poor Hugo.
Can't you name the friends? But also, Hugo's not much older than baby Harold. That's not sleepover age.
No, not at all. Not at all. That poor little boy.
Like, just say they've gone to Colac. Angie's taken them to Colac for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, long weekends. Why not?
Yeah. Lusicus has taken them to Dalesford to play with his kids.
Yeah. All great ideas.
All great ideas. Just left on the table. He's organising. I don't know why it needed 4 scenes worth of organisation, this quote-unquote date night. He had to go get the wine. He had to go get the this or that.
It involves outfit changes for him as well.
Dry cleaning. Therese picked up a dry cleaning.
Yeah. Hey, did you notice one of the ugliest tops I've ever seen Toadie wear.
Even if I hadn't, Kate screenshotted it and showed me again.
It's a polo shirt. Well, like one of his normal bowling kind of shirts. Yeah.
He's got, like, you open his cupboard, it's like a cartoon character's, like, you know, Marge Simpson's 20 green dresses. It's just the same thing over and over.
This thing has almost like a built-in scarf to it. Like a whole panel of it is heavily textured like a knitted scarf.
It's 3D.
It's horrendous.
To contrast with the shirt he wears on date night, which he changes into, which is a lovely navy number, tasteful,
yes. Yeah, yeah.
With a hint of floral, but it's in a kind of gold bronze tone.
Yeah, as Melanie says, you've changed.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, your outfit. And he has put on a t-shirt, a collared shirt that Melanie, his ex-wife, had bought for him, which mere male, not remembering that.
Yeah, classic.
She goes, yeah, I bought it for you because it suits you. It's your colour. Anyway, have fun. and it did look lovely. Very tasteful. And
meanwhile, there's been – so this week has basically been about the loss of Josh's plaque.
Yeah, that's the case of the missing plaque.
And so obviously it was chucked out by Chelsea, which, in the builder's rubbish.
Which some of our UK listeners have chuckled at how we pronounce that word.
It is what it is, mate. Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm not going to be saying plaque.
Yeah.
Plaque. It's
Josh's plaque.
I'm just going to scrub the plaque off my teeth.
You know, we have an argument in our house. It's me versus the rest of them. because apparently I say castle a fair bit.
Yeah.
And I'll obviously say Castlemaine because that's the name of the friggin' town, right? No. My New South Wales husband has monopolised our children's accents on this.
Oh.
So it's all castle, castle, castle.
We'll go to South Australia as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. Did you notice, if you ever watch old episodes with Piper, you'll notice that she says dance and castle and...
Oh, that's annoying.
Lance.
But, yeah, no, I'll have my kids, I'll have, you know, baby Madge say to me, I've never heard of Cinderella's castle. Well, and I'm like, well, I have, I'm sure. Anyway, this is the same vowel for the plaque situation.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe I could be saying plaque, but look, we just say plaque here, okay?
And I'd washed my hands of it. When it went into the bin, I'm like, see you later.
Much like you'd need to do after you'd found said plaque.
Paul will not rest until every tradesperson has been called and every waste management facility has been harassed.
Yeah, and Chelsea's still shady as fuck.
Oh, my God, Chelsea. Get her in a second. What they did not check... any of the Lassiter's bins.
Yeah, strange.
Because Paul just took it upon these good tradespeople's word that they didn't use the Lassiter's bin.
Yeah.
They just took it with them.
Meanwhile, the tradie's probably like, oh, shit, I'm going to be in trouble for using the Lassiter's bin when I meant to take it home with me.
And he puts this together by seeing a pot plant that has rescued from hard rubbish.
Oh, nothing says amazing decor in a cafe like a bin-scabbed broken pot.
Nothing brings back a cafe's reputation or after it was investigated by the health department for having dog hair in the coffee, then putting a bin plant in amongst the decor.
Nice.
And he goes, hey, that's one of our old Lassiter's ones.
And he's like, oh, do you want it back? And he's like, no.
No, fuckhead. Where, which bin? And he tracks, so the bin to...
The bin's empty. Yeah. So then he works out where it went to, which... not quite a tip, probably a transfer station, junkyard.
Junkyard. It looked like, don't leave your car just sitting in a heap.
Come to Pick Apart where everything's cheap.
Pick apart.
Oh, my goodness. My friend and I could do that whole ad together. So she knew the lyrics and I just kept up with the Pick Apart.
We'll post it to the council, that classic Australian ad, yeah. Victorian ad.
Because it was from near Nunawading. And so it's almost like What if it was Pick Apart?
They were at Pick Apart. Chef's kiss.
Did you always wanted to go to Pick
always.
Apart?
Always. It looked like so much fun.
It looks so amazing. I wanted to go there and sit in the abandoned cars.
My father made, when my son was a baby, he made him a little wagon.
Yeah.
A little like tractor with a trailer on it. And most of that he went to, I don't know if it was the Pick Apart.
Oh my God.
But he lives out that way. So
the
he
excitement.
Went, yeah. He went to a junkyard and got like little like letters. He made my son's name on the side of the trailer and he got the letters and he pieced them together from other cars.
Yeah, did you get it, like get some bits from it, like a 1978 Corolla?
Yeah, probably. And he had a lovely time. What fun Paul could have had. He could have done, what's that song from High School Musical 3 when they're in the junkyard?
Mate, I only know the friggin' Pick Apart song. Okay, like let's
move on.
Yeah.
But there in Paul arrives, descends on this wonderful vista of junk.
Yeah.
In his suit.
In his suit. I mean, I know Paul Robinson doesn't do casual wear, but this seems like a lot.
What an amazing shot, that wide shot of the whole junkyard and then Paul taking off his jacket.
The artistically placed vertical cars in the middle too, as well.
Fantastic. I loved every single shot. There was one shot where they were showing Paul rifling through the trash and they were shooting through a broken car window.
Love it.
It was lovely. Fractured. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was so artistic.
Beautiful Paul Robinson. This is a classic Paul redemption moment. Mm. So he's sifting through the trash and then finally, like he's all smudged with dirt and God knows what, he finds a broken Lassiter's lamp.
Yeah. Which did not surprise me at all.
No. And then he straight away texts it to Rage.
Yeah, like is this a Lassiter's lamp? Or like is this, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
And Chelsea's there when Tarage gets the text because Chelsea had tried to organise her own date night.
I love her her plans. She wanted to go to a show and she wanted to be close enough so the performers could spit on her.
Love it.
And then when she couldn't get good enough seats, she's like, no, let's go to some galleries. You need to invest in some art, which I love her supporting local Australian artists. And then she wanted to go to an exclusive restaurant that nobody could get seats in, which is where she was going to bring Byron in to get the reservation.
And she was trying to narrow down which cuisine Paul had a hankering for. And he goes, Paul, how about a glass of I don't give a shit?
Yeah. Paul dumped her for the tip. Dumped for the dump.
Well, just like when he said, hanging out with my 4-year-old granddaughter gave me more joy in the last few weeks than literally anything else.
Need to add an extra frisson to the bubble baths, Chels.
Oh, I loved watching her get stood up over and over. It was so delicious.
But still, like, I mean, yes, we did see also Paul going the grope on her thigh earlier in that episode, though.
Because he was, because he realised that she helped orchestrate the meeting with Isla. So again.
Oh, you're putting the painting up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, now Isla's got Paul's creepy ass portrait in her room.
But then he got the information that Chelsea had gone over to the Nicolette and Aaron and had urged them to facilitate a meeting between Paul and Isla.
Yeah.
But in the wake of that, Aaron has now blacklisted Nicolette and is like, well, you're as bad as Paul. I don't want anything to do with you.
Oh, seriously, Aaron. And now, go abandon your kid for another week then, mate.
Yeah, and Jane has stepped in and said, look, I'll be the go-between. Any messages you guys need to put through for Isla, you can put through me.
Oh, my God. Jane was giving me the shits this week too.
She's like, what about me?
What about me? I never get time to myself or,
No one's asked me if I worry that house has been taken over by sad sacks.
Mate, we're in a crisis. Can you just help and then, like, maybe book yourself a holiday to see your estranged fiancé?
Who we did see. He's got a lovely little salt and peppery beard on the face call.
Considering extending his tour of duty.
Okay. Let's talk about absent fathers. What's going on with Guy Pearce?
Can we have a proof of life for Sammy?
Poor Sammy. Okay, this is so patronising. Okay, you've cast a disabled actor in the role of Sam, who has Down syndrome, and we love to see this representation. And she's a gorgeous soul and, like, brings a lot of elements of family around for Jane and that connection to Mike, and it's really wonderful. And we've been able to see her step into a job at Lassiter's. She was Chloe's assistant. She was Paul's assistant. I don't know what she is now.
But you think at least she could be working on the reception at Lassiter's?
Yeah, on the Lion event.
Yeah.
Like, Krista has had a lot of jobs to do. Sammy could be with her.
Yes.
Helping with that. And it's just patronising to have this person there and not give them lines.
100%.
But
even that, I feel like we just haven't seen her.
No, and every now and then she'll be coming in from a shift or going off to a shift or, we don't even get references to, is she playing with Isla? We don't know anything of her interests. Is she watching a movie? We don't have any, she doesn't have any interests, hobbies. We don't know how she's progressing at work.
Maybe she's due a storyline.
It's gross. At least with Dex, we know he's into anime. We know he likes basketball. Mm. We know he likes to shit can his brother.
Anyway, we've gotten off the point.
Yeah, but let's go back to handsome Guy Pearce's face. And he says, they've asked me to stay on and do another European leg of this tour that I host.
Hey, just come home.
Where, yeah, you have a daughter to support.
Yeah, also, Jane, maybe he's just not that into you.
Yeah, how's that? Mm. Maybe that's what she, maybe that's why she's having a cry this week.
Yeah. Anyway.
Chelsea.
Wheeling it back even further, let's get back to Paul.
Yeah.
At Pick Apart.
Pick Apart, Pick Apart, Pick Apart, Pick Apart, Pick Apart.
Don't leave your plaque just sitting in a heap. Come to Pick Apart, where everything's cheap. Don't leave your son just sitting in a heap. Come to Pick a Plaque, where everything's cheap.
Pick a plaque, pick a plaque, pick a plaque, pick a plaque. Tarage and Paul were so ludicrously dressed for this tip to the trip that I trip to the tip. It made me, it brought me a lot of joy. Tarage was in a leather jacket. Paul's in his suit, getting his hands dirty, rolled up his sleeves. Tarage picks up one bag and goes, "There's nothing here. There's no hope."
Oh, that pissed me off. Paul is clearly been fossicking through everything and she's all like, "Oh no, it's too hard and I haven't even done a single thing.
And it's all dirty." But he goes, "Here it is," and produces the plaque.
Yeah, I love the look on his face. I tell you, if I had been to rage, I would have ugly cried at that moment.
And look, if you're going to jump someone in this episode, that's the moment where you jump someone, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, but you think...
Tip be damned.
I was like, that is not the reaction I would have had. I would have been like, "Oh, Paul." Yes. I would have been like sobbing.
My
like
hero.
Bent over double.
My yeah. hero. And I will never say that about Paul. But yeah. in that moment, yes.
And okay, now this is... Okay, this is a moment we need to remember for you. When okay. you're ranting about how bad he is. That man pitched through garbage to find a plaque dedicated to garbage.
I mean, so you stood up Chelsea, if you're a Chelsea fan.
Oh.
Not a great day for her.
Oh, and by the way, this week we have got a new piece of Neighbours canon storyline.
Oh, via Guy in the Neighbours Council, our Facebook group. The original post was it Josh's wish to be buried at sea or the local pool? Surely he must have a grave Therese could visit. And he does have a grave because we've seen it before, Joshua Willis, no middle name. Becky says, "I've always assumed his body was still buried where the plaque was." And Guy goes, "In the pillar, stood upright." And Kate decreed that is now Neighbours canon.
That's where he is. That's why she can't move on. He's there. That's the lift lobby burial ground for Squashua Willis.
Oh, boy. So the plaque's back. But however, Tarage had sent a voice, message through to Toadie. It was garbled because there's bad reception at the tip, saying, "Can't make it. Can't make date night." And he...
That message, does that even happen? Doesn't it just cut out? Like it's
yeah. She sounded like she was
it's
going through a tunnel.
It's not 1988 on your car phone.
Yeah, she went through a tunnel in the tip. And Toadie runs into Chelsea, who's like, "Oh, Tarage went off to see Paul."
Yeah.
And he snaps. Toadie snaps.
He heads back to the greenhouse where Melanie is conveniently still out in Coos's backyard.
Now, this is a man who has not learned to stop and ask for additional details. Do you remember when he found out via his five-year-old daughter, "Mummy's in bed with Mark," who she was like not feeling well and had to lie down in Mark's bed. And he goes, my marriage is over, and hops into the sack with Andrea.
He's very reactive, isn't he?
Just don't stop and think, Toad. Do you need an ADHD diagnosis? What the fuck?
I'll tell you what. We've been treated to seeing Toadie's sex face, basically. And here you go. You can be reminded of it.
Oh, no. I reckon he snotted on Melanie. There is snot in that exchange. He comes over crying, going, "She went to Paul. Tarage went to Paul." I'm like, do you remember how your wife didn't sleep with Mark? Maybe this is a bit like that.
I've taken another screenshot of Melody mid-kiss.
I can just see the hint of snot.
I mean, bless them. They are sharing air at that point.
And Toadie and Melanie keeps... in the greenhouse, just goes, "Why did you come here? Why are you here?"
Yeah. And she's like, "You need to make the first move."
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Good for her. More power to you on International Women's Day.
Yeah. Because say what you will about Melanie sniffing around the toad, but he's got agency.
You know what? There's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Yep. Now, I'll tell you what, Toadie has drunk.
Yep. He pounced.
He pounced. They pashed. And then he seductively drew her behind the greenhouse.
I didn't see that shot.
Yeah, they went in, they disappeared behind the Durian greenhouse.
It's going to be humid in there.
No, not in the greenhouse.
Oh, not in, okay.
Behind the greenhouse.
Okay.
Yeah, which is what would be behind the greenhouse? Carl's compost
heap? That pizza oven? I don't know.
Yeah.
The reason I said to you Toad's a fucking idiot is because whatever, I don't care. Sleep with whoever you want. I don't give a shit. But.
Let a thousand blossoms bloom.
don't move your kids into the house down the road, away from the house that their mother died.
We have said this from the start. He should not have sold the house at trial.
Don't sell your house.
Lease it out.
Uproot your kids when you're still not over this person. Granted, you're in denial, whatever, whatever, whatever. Then go back to therapy until you know what your feelings are.
Where's he going to live? Like in Sonia's smacky caravan?
And don't put your kids through hell when they clearly don't like this stepmother, and then eventually they get on side and now they're supportive of her, and now you go back and put your tongue down the throat of your ex-wife.
The only solution I can see for him in this situation is moving in with Coos. There's no other houses to accommodate him.
Ooh. With all those, the two kids and Toad and Melanie and Holly in the Coos house.
Maybe Coos will move into, maybe Ho-Ho will move into the share house.
I thought you were going to say maybe Coos will move into Irene Rising.
No. Do you reckon they will?
No, because Carl's working there. You can't be the working doctor and a resident.
Can you? It's like a... It's meant to be, the glamorous retirement home? They've technically retired. Because who the hell is going to live there anyway? We've seen spoilers this week. I mean, it's not huge spoilers, but Ann Smith's back on set.
Yeah, snore.
Yeah. I would, remind people to remember what I said about him in the last episode. Yeah. But who else is going to be in there? Get Mrs. Punch back on the scene as well. There's not that many people who are old enough to live in Irene Rising. Imagine the Kennedy house with no Kennedys.
No, I refuse. It's like imagining the House of Trouser with no Toad. Oh, wait. I don't like it. So now Teresa's going to come back. She won't have slept with... It's history repeating itself.
But now we're going to have a fight over Paul between Chelsea and Terage.
But also now Terage has now watched two spouses cheat on her. We don't know how far Toadie goes with Mel, but I'm assuming it's pretty damn...
Well, if they went out behind the greenhouse...
Once you go behind the greenhouse, there's no turning back.
He's not just going back there to have a look at the dragon fruit.
Poor Holly next week's going to have to cop it. Well, it's only fitting now that we go to Citizen or Shitizen of the Week.
Citizen or Shitizen of the Week.
Before we do jump into Citizen or Shitizen, Kate... There was a snack development at the Rodwells.
Oh, I love this. The Rodwells obviously doing quite well for themselves because Wendy, through Sadie, offered Uncle Felix cheddar shapes.
Yeah, the choice of cheddar or barbecue.
Yeah, and as Sadie said, you're clearly a psychopath if cheddar's your favourite and not barbecue because I do agree with her. Barbecue is the tip-top shape flavour.
Cheddar was my favourite.
But we need to point out that shapes are what Aldi Snackos are the rip-off of. So if they're getting shapes rather than Snackos, then clearly they're living the good life.
And also Wendy got accepted into her education degree.
Good for her. Yeah. And I love it that Felix was like, oh yeah, that'll really suit her. So there must be some more artistic talent to her.
Well, she's had a craft table. Like the study desk in the what was the Canning House was her craft table. Sure, there you go. And there'll be more to be said about her doing education. If she suddenly winds up at Erinsborough High teaching, there are programs.
It's another dark day for Erinsborough High.
There are programs where you can teach while you're studying, but we'll get into all that. We must do Citizen or Shitizen of the Week. And I'm going to immediately hop into Shitizen Toadfish.
Okay.
Because not because you're cheating on your wife. Many people would give him Shitizen for that. But because... You tangled up all of this in the first place and you remarried when you hadn't resolved your issues with your ex-wife. I don't even think, did she even sign divorce papers?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows? I've got a saddest bitch.
Yes, Kate.
And that's Byron.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, like, oh, mate, there's a reason why your escort business has failed and we've all seen the reason why now.
I can't believe he pipped Chelsea at the post for saddest bitch.
She's still ain't nothing going to break her stride. She's nothing's going to hold her down.
My date ditched me to go to a tip for his ex.
I'm still hanging out at the cafe. I'm not moping around the penthouse.
And I loved her doubling down and pretending she didn't know where Paul had gone. Therese is like, where's Paul? And Chelsea just sips her coffee going,
and she's like, oh, yeah, oh, this looks nice.
And Paz is like, didn't you go to the tip? She's like, oh, yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay, so Citizen or Shitizen, I'm going to give Citizen to Melanie because, my God, she goaded the toad and it worked.
Hey, it's CJ. Just jumping in with my citizen of the week. Our differently abled short king, Paul. He rolls up his sleeves. He takes off his jacket. He arrives in a suit and goes through an entire tip for Therese because he couldn't let it go. Toadie was like, let's get a new one. No, not the plaque. Ah, short king.
Yep, that's it. What a full week, jam-packed week. We'll be back next week.
She made that horse drink.
Thanks for listening. We'll chat next week.
Bye.
Hey, Britt.
He's a professional male gigolo. She got her money's worth. Don't blame me, blame Britt. Byron's type is emotionless teen stars caught in a role they probably didn't mean to sign on to. Don't blame me, blame Britt. Is it genetically possible to have the same exact birthmark? What the fuck? Don't blame me, blame Britt. I've really fucking had enough of Toadie and Therese.